Hey everyone, before we start into the message today, I'd like for us to pray together. Why don't you bow with me? God, we do need you. Sometimes we take you for granted. Other times we, maybe in our desperation, just go after solutions we come up with before praying. Right now we just ask that you would be very present with us as we study what the Bible says and get your perspective on our life. We also want to pray for our neighbors and friends and people throughout our country and the world. There are many that are struggling with this virus, and the numbers are going up right now. Whether it's government officials like our president or others that serve the public, or just all the way down to people we will never meet. God, we pray that you would bring hope and healing and comfort. Those that are working for vaccines will not take any shortcuts in finding a way to address this this disease. We pray for help and strength. We have people that are struggling with all kind of other disasters, the fires out west, the pending storm in the south. We pray that you would cause your people to trust you, to rise up, to serve and to help, to have strength and courage. And God, I pray that you would also help each of us to sign up with you to be peacemakers in a nation that is really fractured and divided. Please help us today to grow in our relationship with you and with each other, and to be people that can make a difference. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. So we're in a series called The New Abnormal. Last week, as we were looking at this, and think about this, you know, back in March, many of us thought that these changes brought about by the coronavirus would be very, very temporary. That was almost 8 months ago. And a lot of things have become kind of set for us, and we're having to figure out, so what does it look like, especially when schools were starting and we found out that for the majority of people, it was gonna be homeschool. We looked at this last week, and that abnormal circumstances actually are good for us. They're an opportunity for us to be able to show and to grow our faith. Our resident artist here, my wife Becky, has given us an illustration of this. Back when I was owned a landscape business in Texas, which is, I tell you, that's a great place to do it because anything you do is an improvement. If we could get anything to be green, we were heroes. But I want you to look at this. It's a perfect illustration in nature of what we're talking about here. If you have grass, and this is grass seed, you can see the black roots for the grass. It can look okay on top, but what you do underneath is what really, really matters. In this case, we found this a lot in Texas where people would have sprinkler systems and they'd turn it on. And every day they give their grass a little bit of a drink of water. It'd just be a little bit and the grass would flourish and seem to do fine. The problem is when there would be a major drought that would come, and when, especially in Texas, we did a lot of water rationing. If you're not careful, what you've done is you've trained the roots to just stay on the surface. It's easy, it's simple. Homeowners couldn't tell the difference until the drought came. What you need to do, this is whether it's your yard or trees or other things, is you plant the grass, and instead of watering every day a little bit, you water once a week, and you really give a good soaking, and you get it down 4 or 5 inches down into the dirt. Here's what happens, is when you do this, as the water evaporates, the roots have to keep working to chase the water. What happens is the drought causes the roots to search for water, and as they keep going and going, they'll go down deeper and deeper. God uses difficulty and challenges to help you and I grow, just like this grass does. And if we listen, what will happen? If we follow him and if we respond well, we'll finally find out what our true potential is, what the capacity he's wired us for. So God wants more from you and me. He wants more for us and from us than we would ever find on our own, and especially taking the easy route. So as we're looking at this abnormal, understand that God uses it to stretch and develop and to challenge us. And the results, I'm going to tell you, the results are priceless. What will happen is those that live the easy life, the comfortable life, and all that kind of stuff will find that when their resources are gone, they're toast. But when we've been trained to trust and follow, and we've learned to dig our roots deep and strong, we'll flourish. We want to be aware of something else, and that's what we're going to look at today, and that is our tendency to drift. There's certain areas of our life and that we kind of float or drift in, and we need to avoid that temptation at all costs. So what I'd like for us to do today is look at this idea of drifting. And I'm going to give you two definitions, two ways this shows up. The first is just to follow the path of least resistance. That's one way that we drift. And the other is to just wander off track. Either one of these definitions works. Let me give you an example for both. This idea of following the path of least resistance. First part of my life, I was an expert. I was a pro at this. I was a hardcore drifter. In my high school days, in my senior year, I missed more days than I attended. One of the things we loved to do was to go out, we'd get inner tubes, fill them up, and we would go out on the James River, and we would strap to our belt a couple of six packs of beverages that we enjoyed, and we'd just sit in the inner tube and just float with the river all day. It was a lot of fun, it was easy. Very, very, very fun. But we had no control over where we were going. We were just drifting, and wherever the river took us, that's where we would go. And it's okay occasionally to take a break, but when your whole life is designed around taking a break and taking the path of least resistance, it is a danger. So there's drifting that's following the path of least resistance, which some of us are very good at. There's another, and that is to wander off track. And the best example I have of that is when you're driving. And it's easy to get distracted. You're on your phone, you can text, you're talking to someone, your mind wanders, and you drift into another lane. I've got a car now that has some active safety features, and one of them is a lane departure feature. And the moment I start crossing into a lane that I'm not supposed to be in, that I haven't put my turn signal on for, I get beeps and buzzes and vibrations. I've been surprised how often I end up drifting and how I've needed that wake-up call. So this message, the rest of the message, I just want to help all of us to be thinking, this is for me and you, to be thinking about areas where it'd be easy for us to drift, either to go to the path of least resistance, to wander off track, and to just think about how can we, in these abnormal times, grab hold and really have a sense of ownership of our lives. So we're going to start with this. Let's go along. The first is in our spiritual life. And you might think, well, I'm not sure that's the first one to start with. Listen, our spiritual life should impact every other area of our life. Listen to what Paul says here. He says, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better. It promises benefits in this life and in the life to come. When you and I give God our undivided attention, where our spiritual life, where we're focused on him, and make no mistake about it, as a follower of Jesus, what happens is that I have now devoted my whole life to Jesus Christ. He is now the one that I follow in all areas of my life. My heart, mind, soul, and strength now are all devoted to him. And when that encompasses every area, it informs all areas of my life and will transform me from the inside out. So let's look at this together. Here's a passage, Matthew 4. But Jesus told him, he was facing some temptations in his own life, and he the accuser, the enemy has come to him, and Jesus answers very directly and clearly. He goes, no, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. God's word is not something that we just every once in a while open up and or dust off and read, but understanding what the Bible teaches is essential for you and I to live full, flourishing lives. And that means carving out time to be reading and learning what the Bible says, and not just waiting once a week, maybe for me or someone else to do it, but to do it personally. That's why we do our Bible reading plan at New Hope. That's why we do the take-home sheets after each message that you can download, so that you and I can interact with it, we can wrestle with it, we can ask questions, we can say, so what does this really mean? How would this impact my daily life? We need to use the Bible to inform our personal values, the beliefs that we have, the principles that we're gonna evaluate decisions by. I mean, when you think about it right now, you and I ought to be studying and finding out, what does God's word say about the issues for the coming election? What does he say is really important? And not just following a trend or traditions, but really wrestling with, what does the Bible say? What does God want me to know? Now, how will I respond? Here's another thing about our spiritual life. Psalm 5:3 says, listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning, I bring my request to you, and I wait expectantly. This regular time of prayer is really important. Knowing God's word, a growing, working knowledge of God's word, but also praying for myself, praying for others, praying for our government leaders, praying for our church, people at work, our neighbors, people throughout our country, praying specifically enough, too, that we can recognize when there's an answer to it. One of the things I've loved since the pandemic hit, we've been doing our Monday night prayer night. If you haven't joined us, or if you've not been there for a while, I hope you will. It has become really, really important for many of us, because it's helping us stay more grounded in prayer and praying in a way where we can actually see if there's an answer. Here's another one to listen to, Hebrews 10, related to our spiritual life. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. In my spiritual life and yours, staying connected with other followers of Jesus is absolutely crucial. Us staying connected, and then in us realizing that there are others that we need and that they need us too. That means in our small group, that means in worship, whether you're showing up for an in-person service or whether it's a virtual like we do with our live stream. It is staying connected with each other. We do that through calls, text, emails, invites. You know, there's some people that you and I know that have kind of drifted away. It could be through discouragement. It could be through they've been overwhelmed. They're working at home. They have everybody at home, and they've kind of lost their balance. And they could use you and I to encourage and reach out and connect with them. As you're thinking about that, if some names come to mind, why don't you just write them down now, and before today's over, give them a call, a text, jot them a note, invite them to come check out this message today, or come with you to one of our in-person services. But we need each other. And part of our spiritual development is where we stay connected and we don't just drift away. That leads to this thing about relationships throughout our lives, not just in our spiritual life, but just throughout our lives. It's family, work, and neighborhood. We can easily drift away from each other. People can slide off our radar because maybe we're so busy or we're not running into them like we used to. Some relationships have crashed and burned because of social media posts, which have grown exponentially, and and people expressing sometimes their opinion in ways that is caustic and hard, and it's caused fractured in friendships. It's damaged some of them. And you and I need to be careful to nurture our relationships. Even when there are differences, instead of letting the differences divide, find ways to have common ground. Listen to Hebrews 12:14. Work at living at peace with everyone. Let me just say that again. Work at living in peace with everyone. And work at living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. This living at peace with others is part of having what God says is a holy life. Holy is a fancy word just meaning set apart for God's special use. The moment I become a follower, I'm now holy. And I'm to let God have free reign over my life. And so how I treat others, how I relate to them, is a real picture of whether I'm living this holy, God-honoring life or not. In our homes, we're spending a lot more time together. And for many of us, while there have been some advantages to that, there also have been annoyances and interruptions. You know, people are trying to work. Some are trying to do school or should be trying to do school. There are adult kids that have moved back home either because college is closed or the economy has changed. And it's a challenge to have everybody in together all the time. So we need to work hard at living in peace with each other. We need to be deliberately acting in a way to eliminate drift toward our own bents. Listen to this. Romans 12. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. I'm going to read this again and pull some parts out. Don't just pretend to love others. The problem with pretending is eventually the pretense wears thin. It says really love them. And the word love here, it means to put their interests and needs above your own. This is not an emotion. It's a genuine decision that I'm going to care for your needs and interests. And even if it means I have to sacrifice some of the things I want, I'll do that for you. Hate what is wrong. And start off hating what is wrong by looking in the mirror. You know, when we're in close quarters, whether it's in our homes or our neighborhoods, it's easy to pick at other people and to see their faults. We should be in the mirror first and see our own. Hate what is wrong in each other, in ourselves. Hold tightly to what is good. Grab hold of what you know is good. And go back to the first point we made about your spiritual life is understand what God says is good and right and true and grab hold of that. Know what it is and then begin living your life based in that direction. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Is take delight in honoring each other. One of the translations says, go out of your way to let the others win. Let them have their own way. If it's whether it's for a mealtime or watching a movie or whatever it is, go out of your way in helping others have what they would like. This is not being a martyr. It's learning to serve and to love. Instead of demanding your own way, pouting and yelling or just hiding away in your cave, take initiative. Learn to be very deliberate. Let's go look at another category, and that's work and school. This new abnormal is definitely a challenge. We have a lot less in-person contact with people outside of our homes and much more virtual, whether it's school or work. And it has not been easy. It's been a challenge for teachers and employers as well as employees and students. Colossians 3 gives us some direction here. It says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. You do this since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. We need to be careful not to slack off or drift into merely what we can get away with, whether, again, it's work or school. We need to keep in mind that Jesus is our CEO and that we directly report to him. Everything you and I do is a reflection on him. And so we should do our work, whether it's for income or for grades, whether it's volunteer work, We need to do it in a way that reflects on Him really, really well. We need to have a clear conscience, and we can by working hard with our whole heart, but there's also a practical matter to this too. If you've been reading, you'll notice that among the different kind of layoffs that have happened business-wise, one of the things they've done is they've used the COVID cutbacks as a way to get rid of poor performing employees. And maybe they didn't have the courage to do it before, or there were a variety of reasons, but now companies are saying, we're going to keep the ones that are really doing the work, and the ones that don't, we're going to let them go, and we'll do it under cover of COVID. I don't know how it is at your workplace, but you need to be really careful about this. Not only is working with your whole heart to serve Jesus a right thing to do, it's a smart thing to do too. And a word to those that have lost work or have been cut back significantly in their hours. Stay active. Again, do the work that you do have, if you have it, with all your heart, as if you're serving Jesus. If you don't have work, hunt for it well. Don't just give up. Hunt for it well. Volunteer strongly. Recognize that all that you're doing is a reflection on Jesus, and Jesus is going to be using even the struggle to help you dig your roots down deep into Him. Don't just be jealous of those that have it in what you call easy. Just be careful. And the last category, I've covered two here, I'm going to break it up, and that's finances and our health. And there's a picture here in Proverbs of someone that is what I call a real drifter. Let me read this to you. It says, I walk the field of a lazy person, the vineyard of one with no common sense. I saw that it was overgrown with nettles. It was covered with weeds, and its walls were broken down. Then as I looked and thought about it, I learned this lesson. A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. The picture here is of someone that is lazy, someone that's not really paying attention to the things that they should be. And I want to mention two categories here for us to think about, and that's our finances and our health. There's some good news financially in the United States right now, and that is personal debt, credit card debt, is lower than it's been in a while. Some of that has been attributed to the fact that people are not dining out like they were. They're not traveling like they were. They're not buying wardrobes for work. Sweatpants have been up, but you get my point. There's a lot less that they've been spending on that they were used to. People are cooking more at home and all this kind of thing. However, we need to be careful about that. While that's good, people are spending money in other areas. There have been significant increases in home projects. Homeowners, 76% of homeowners have done a significant project on their home during COVID-19. This has ranged from inside and outside kind of things. Some have been doing it to get their house ready to sell. Others have been doing it because they've been putting off projects. The median price of these projects is $17,140. And this has been reflected if you look at, say, the last quarter at Home Depot. They had the strongest increase in a quarter in 20 years. People are doing a lot of work, either hiring it out or doing it themselves. But when I walk our neighborhood, and Becky and I are out, we can see a lot of yards and outsides of homes that have significantly been improved. There's been more time and money put into them. You also see a lot of kitchen stuff that's been dumped out on the side of the road. So apparently people are doing a lot of kitchen and bathroom remodeling. But we need to be aware here. We don't want to drift into the holidays where it would be real easy to spend lavishly to make up for what we've missed. And so I just want to encourage you, if you've been able to reduce some of your debt because of you've been spending less, that's great. Make sure you're saving. I also want to encourage you to make sure you're giving. As a church, We need the income that all of us bring. That's how God funds his church, and we are busy. We closed the building down for a while, but we've never stopped being the church, and we're active and we're busy. There are a lot of things God wants to do in and through us, internally with our community, and we want to stay active in it. So please check your giving. You should be getting a statement soon, and let's do this well. Also, look out for local businesses. I'm not urging people to spend a ton of money, but look out for local businesses that you could help. Some of them have really struggled. Many of them are really in dire straits. And then also just be aware of neighbors and others that might be struggling and look for ways to help them too. The fact that you may be financially in a good position could be that God sets you up to be helping others that are not. The last one I want to look at is health. Forbes magazine has said that 76% of Americans have gained weight. Some have called it the COVID-15. It's probably closer to the COVID-19, using the meaning differently. It's somewhere between 8 and 15 pounds on average people have added to their bodies. And part of this is stress eating. Part of it is cooking more at home and you have a lot of leftovers. Part of it is just maybe getting out of bad habits. And then exercise. Some have, because gyms have been closed, they've gotten out of the habit and maybe haven't been exercising like they should. So be careful with this. Not everyone needs to have a six-pack of abs, but we do want to be careful that we don't drift into unhealthy habits. And that leads to this last one, and that's drinking. It's a deep concern. Alcohol consumption is up 14% in the United States, 17% increase in women. And here's another one, heavy drinking among women. And that's four plus drinks in 2 hours. It's up 41% in American women. The World Health Organization has cited increased drinking is a major world health problem. So please be careful. Be aware. If you drink, watch yourself. Measure what you're doing. Don't just slide into it. I know people are having virtual cocktail parties and virtual happy hours, but be careful because it can grow into a way that can cause all kind of harm to you and those around you. I don't know which one of these hits you. A couple of them have definitely hit me. And I want to encourage you, get the take-home sheet this week. Walk through this and say, I wonder what God would like for me to pay some extra attention to. What is it that I can be looking at so that I don't drift, whether it's either following the path of least resistance or just resistance or just getting off track? What can I do? How can I help those around me? And let's recognize we're in this together. I've asked my friend Mike Thayer if he would pray for us. Mike?
Hello, New Hope. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your selfless act of sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Thank you for your presence in our lives, for your guidance, for your love, and for your grace, even when we do not deserve it. Thank you for our church and for all of those who, as one church family, seek you. Thank you for creating all of us in your image. Help us to hold tight to that common humanity when there are so many things that right now feel like they divide us and keep us apart. We are your church, your people. Unite us, Lord. This time has been difficult for so many of us. For all of us, this pandemic has caused us to pause our day-to-day lives. So many things that occupied our time before have been placed on hold and provide space and time that we did not have before. Please help us to keep from drifting to those things that distance us from you, but instead let us draw near to you. Let us be intentional about how we fill our days. Let us seek you for comfort, reassurance, for strength and purpose. Lord, help us to use this time to grow in our knowledge of and our relationship with you. Help us increase in our ability to be a blessing to those in our family, our friends, our neighbors, and those in our community. Help us to show your love to those around us, both in our words and in our actions, so many of whom desperately need to experience your comfort through us. Help us use this time to be a blessing to others. And Lord, thank you for your presence in our lives. As we pray in your name, amen.